You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Revenge After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Revenge After Show.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing what we're here doing. Season 2, Episode 16, Illumination. I am your host, Phil Svitek, joined alongside by a full panel today. Woo. It's been a while since we've had one of those, but welcome, Catherine Tulich.
You didn't get the memo about the green, sorry.
Hey, neither did I. Neither did I. Yeah. The Hamptons don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. They only celebrate big events.
All right, okay.
But celebrating St. Patrick's Day, we have Anna Koppel.
A lot of people are going to take offense to that, Phil.
I'm sure they are.
Absolutely.
They take so much offense to it. But anyway, and we have Roxy Stryer joining us for a second episode.
And I just want to say I'm wearing green shorts.
and the headpiece.
And the bracelet and the shamrock sticker on her.
Oh, yeah.
The green, I like the green fingernails. That's very cool, too.
It's my favorite holiday.
Well, enough about the holiday. And joining us today, we have a special guest, a post-production coordinator, and we'll go over what that means. Because you know, the average TV fan might not know. If you're within the industry, then you would. But it is a very important role. Her name is Lizzie Donaldson.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And, let's talk about it real fast before we kind of dive into things. You coordinate on the editing side of things. I mean, in basic terms, right?
I do. I work in post-production, which is the editing department. And no offense if you don't know what that is.
I'm
still getting to know it.
Sound, music,
Sound effects. We take the show from hours and hours of dailies and crunch it down to 42 minutes and 20-something seconds.
Yeah.
When you say dailies, that's basically what's shot every day, right?
Yeah. Each episode takes 8 days to shoot, and we get yesterday's footage the next day. They'll shoot, and we get it the next day, and we start cutting it together.
Is there a lot that is left on the cutting room floor?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because you do every scene a few times, different angles, different ways. So a lot of hours, yeah. And then it's just whittled down. It still blows my mind.
Amazing. Perfect. And you love what you do?
I do. I love what I do, and I'm fortunate enough that I really love the show. I think I love it. I'm excited every time I get an outline for a new episode. It's just, what's going to happen next? It's a show that kind of really draws you in, and I think I would watch it even if I weren't working on it. So, and that's always really nice. I don't know what I would do if I hated the show that I had to watch every day, all day, for hours.
That does make your job better.
Yeah, makes it a lot better.
Well, let's start with Eli, the kind of biggest bombshell. You know, obviously that's the cliffhanger of last episode into this episode. And what did you guys think of the storyline and where, you know, kind of his role, his, you know, place in this whole storyline?
Well, I actually thought the fact, you know, they didn't keep us in suspense too long about whether he knew her real identity or not, which I thought was kind of interesting. I thought they might want to stretch that out. But that came in pretty fast.
Yeah, revenge is typically... I mean, remember Victoria's death? We found out 25 minutes into season 2 that, okay, she is alive.
Yeah.
And everyone else found out about it, too. So, you know, it's. I don't think it's the format of that show. But, go ahead.
I was also glad to find out that, really quickly, that he was her foster brother, because...
Fro-bro.
Because... at the end of the last episode, when he just introduced himself as Emily's brother, you know, and he's black, I was like, oh, this is really, like, not trusting yourself as writers and as a show, which is so unlike Revenge. So I was really happy to find out that...
Did you guys think that it was weird that he did? I mean, I know in terms of viewers, we wanted there to be a longer waiting period before he dropped this bombshell. But do you think it was strange that he so quickly realized that it was her?
There was no sort of sign.
And I know that he didn't know her, but 14 years went by. She obviously looks very different. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was necessarily realistic.
I thought, for me, it was very realistic. I mean, we talked about this on the last episode, was the fact that, if I had known Roxy as a child, I can kind of spot her versus, like, if I'm
she
handed a photo.
She hasn't changed.
If I'm handed a photo of not Roxy and I'm told that's Roxy, then I'm like, no, that's not her. Lizzie, for you, you had read the script, I guess, right? And you were really intrigued by this from the get-go.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting way to reintroduce her past in something that we hadn't seen before that wasn't just Amanda, because until then it was just flashbacks of her and Amanda in juvie and her dad. So now you're bringing in a part that we didn't know of. But we knew everything about her past of setting houses on fire, right? That's just kind of been why she was in juvie, and it's been referred to. So now it's here, and I thought that was kind of a fun tie-in. It's interesting that he does recognize her, because no one else in the Hantons seems to.
Yeah.
But he is...
What do you got planned for us, Martin?
I have no idea what that was.
That was a remix.
Martin, what are you looking up over there?
Nothing.
I thought it was kind of mood music until it suddenly...
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Go ahead.
So Eli knows Emily from being 14 instead of 9. So he's got 5 years more than Jack and everyone else does. Which I think if you know someone as an early teen, you could probably recognize
them later.
But also,
she had the infinity tattoo. How come no one else has spotted that on her?
Because they show her in the flashback drawing with the ashes of the match, the double infinity sign, which was her and her dad's little secret thing.
But it's also on the house.
Love. And it's also on the house that they had carved in when they moved in.
So the Graysons and all that don't know about
that
infinity sign?
Yeah, they wouldn't know that because they weren't as integrated into her personal life.
See, I completely agree with you that in theory, I love the storyline and I love that they brought him back. And I'm going to get yelled at right now, but I just don't love the choices that are being made by the actor to portray the character. Is that okay?
That's okay. I mean, here's kind of my problem with it. With him, everyone else is so good that when you don't have someone up to, even if it's a guest star like this, up to that level, it kind of shows.
Right, and it's got to be hard walking into that situation because everyone on the show is so freaking talented, and you're not in the swing of things, and you obviously don't vibe with people like they vibe with each other, and they work together every day. So I can see that, but it's just not... I'm not seeing the chemistry between him and Emily.
And also, the guest stars we have been phenomenal, like Adrian Barbeau, really seasoned performers, Roger Bart. I mean, you can probably think of more, but I mean, they've had such a high level of acting in this show. But yeah, especially even the guest stars, So I guess he's a fairly new actor. I mean, he's not... I don't know his background, but he hasn't probably... So you're right, sort of walk into this very seasoned group, yes.
Yeah, and, plus, too, we don't know from him whether or not he's familiar with the show. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of the guest stars, do they watch the show that you're aware of or no?
I don't know. I would hope so. Mostly because the plot, I feel like if you miss an episode, you're screwed for a long time. So yeah. I would hope that you would at least know some of it. I can't speak personally though.
Well, I mean, you are on set, you see. I'd imagine these actors are very welcoming, though. I imagine when sort of people come into the...
Absolutely.
Yeah, they seem like to me like they're actors that are... a great group of people.
They have a lot of fun, and I think that they get excited, when they read these new parts of, someone new to play with kind of thing.
When someone's new on set.
Yeah,
when
someone's
new on set.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
exactly,
like I said,
a new toy.
Yeah, but I imagine if a new actor's coming on set that they are felt very at home. It seems like that kind of set to me, that these actors really love being there,
Absolutely. It's a really welcoming set. I've been, fortunate enough to work on the show, and when I bring in family members, everyone just kind of will ham it up for them and kind of, do fun things, and they really like it. Or at least they don't. They should pretend to.
That's called acting.
Yeah, they're very good at it.
Well, in terms of Eli storyline, everyone keeps saying, okay, he's going to hang around here. He has an agenda. What I'm kind of unclear on is what exactly is his agenda. If he's... if he's such close friends with Emily, you know, you'd think that he'd do what she wants or something like that, you know, so why is he going against her?
He was asking her to trust him, and I think, you know, that scene where he's kind of saying, you know, hey, it's me, but she doesn't really tell him anything, does she? So she's not really letting him in on anything, probably wisely, but maybe he suspects that he's not going to sort of find out what she's doing there. I don't know.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. I think it is. It's a little confusing because he came back because he thought that his foster sister was dead. He quickly finds out that his foster sister is alive, and I can't tell whether he's trying to rekindle a relationship, so that's the motive why he wants to stay, or whether he is trying to scam her like he tries to scam everybody else, like with his illegitimate book business, et cetera, et cetera.
As I understood it, he actually came back because Charlotte invited him to the wedding.
Right.
And he just showed up
to the funeral.
Mm. Yeah. To the funeral.
Right, not to the wedding.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I'm mistaken.
Yeah, no. She invites him to the funeral, and then I'm sure to his... Well, actually, I don't know. Is he happy that his sister is actually alive, or is he disappointed because he really hates her? Well, I can't tell.
I guess we'll see. When he was describing the fire, he said, I always thought she set that fire on accident, or I'm sorry, on purpose, so that we could stay together. Hmm. But I'm wondering if maybe he got blamed for the fire and that caused more trouble in his life.
Here's the good news for me, and this is just my kind of interpretation of it, but what's nice is, right, we'll talk about Aiden and that whole storyline and how they're trying to pin him, but with this now you have a perfect scapegoat for everyone, right, if you wanted to, because obviously he's, you know, he's, quote, brothers with Amanda, and so therefore anything that potentially bad could happen, anyone can pin on this guy. That's a potential thing that the show could do.
What do you mean anything bad could happen, it would be pinned on him?
Okay, let's say,
an example.
I mean, how all the things that happened in the Hamptons, but let's say now I'm trying to.
Well, I just don't know what you mean.
Okay.
Even down to
let's say, you know, and forgive this because this is terrible because this would never happen. But let's say you know, $100,000 is stolen from the Conrads.
Right.
They could blame him. Or let's say, you know, let's say a secret computer is stolen. Right. That's a little bit better, perhaps. Oh, who are we gonna blame? We're gonna blame Eli.
So you mean it was smart of the writers to put him on because we need to have a scapegoat?
I'm not saying, it's smart in that sense, but what I'm saying is if Emily could connect, you know, if he's not doing what she wants of him, then she could, you know, destroy him in that manner if she wanted to. She could. It's not smart. I mean, as she says, she's playing with fire by doing that, but that is a possibility for her, and it's also a possibility for the Conrads because I know they're going after Aiden and he's now a great scapegoat, but, you know, now you also have this guy. Pin things on.
So you think that's why Victoria wanted him as the co-chair, because they're trying to put people in this foundation that they can basically...
More people you have, that, you know, like the more liability against all the others, great.
Yeah, the more people you have, the more people you can throw into the fire if you need to.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know why Victoria would do... Because I feel like if there was anybody to throw under a bus, that she would want Emily as that person.
Yeah, you're right. She chose not to have her as a co-chair. You're right.
But keeping this guy around also gives that possibility that she would be able to do that because she knows that there's some sort of animosity there. So I think that she's thinking that.
But
she doesn't know the relationship between Emily and...
She knows that Emily doesn't want this guy around anymore.
Right.
Because once Emily told...
Ashley,
thank you. I forgot her name because she's been... Like, not in the last couple episodes
that much.
But anyway, when Emily told Ashley and then Ashley told Victoria, that's why she chose him as the co-chair. Because she knew that Emily didn't want him around. So I think that that's probably the main reason.
Where do Emily and Victoria stand now? I mean, it seems there's always been this back and forth, tit for tat. And I thought we were kind of aligned, but now we're not.
Well, I think one of the exciting things about the rest of the season is now they're back to kind of being pitted against one another, especially with Emily, who at the end of this episode is kind of rejoining forces with Daniel, which is, of course, Victoria's worst nightmare. Mm. So
Well, I was kind of, but, you know, we see Victoria ask Emily for her help and actually wants them to get back together.
Right.
So it is her worst nightmare, but it's also her dream.
But that was for her benefit, and now, you know,
she's
that,
in control again.
Right, exactly. Now she's in control again, and she just thinks Emily, you know, is after something other than Daniel. Obviously, he thinks that Emily has ulterior motives. As for Eli's next episode next week, he will explain everything as to why he's there and what he wants and what his goal is. So
we
hang on.
You're probably sitting here like, I know something you don't know.
I know. It's so exciting. So you were saying about Victoria and Emily, that really is what the fans love, isn't it? That's what it's coming
back
to.
And exactly, which is really nice. I think it got a little too big too quickly, and they're just kind of bringing it back to, you know, this Emily taking down the Graysons, which is what we all want to see.
Which is really how this sort of rest of the season is focusing on.
Exactly,
now.
Just
right.
kind of getting back on track and giving the fans what they want.
And you were saying, too, that they actually do respond to what fans...
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful, yeah.
I think that the turn and the change, and even in the end of the last episode, they said, back to basics, no more messing around, no more distractions, and that's literally what the show's focusing on.
But can you elaborate a little, because I know before we came on here, we were talking about how the fans do love that, and they love to tell them and then they listen. But what do you mean by that? How do they contact you through social media or what goes on there?
I mean, even in post, and just hearing the writers talk, I know that they pay a lot of attention to what the fans want and to what they're having problems with, what they think is going to happen. So I know that, you know, last season they were teasing the idea of, like, oh, maybe we'll make, you know, Charlotte David Clark's other daughter and that'll be a big, you know, boom thing. And I think it was in their mind, they weren't sure if they're going to do it. And then all of a sudden these fans had, you know, really, really started this theory that this was happening. They were excited about it and they wanted it and they just, you know, they put it in. So, and the same thing also happened with Ashley at the beginning of this season where, and I actually think that the actress that plays Ashley, who's also named Ashley, she had read, you know, oh, I think that Ashley and Conrad had an affair and, you know, presented it to Mike and was like, I think this is kind of cool. And they ran with it.
So some of the actors, like, because I know Ashley is very active on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Gabrielle. She's always.
So they actually sometimes give feedback to the writers and they actually go, well.
I don't know how regular it is, but I do know that that is what happened in that circumstance.
Interesting.
You know, I love that because we're a super fan network here. Yeah. So knowing that our voice actually matters.
It matters a lot, yeah.
Which, of course, is an amazing reason why you should write on our YouTube page, go to our iTunes and comment, because they're actually reading this stuff. And if you want to voice your opinion and you want to voice it to a big platform, you go to our iTunes, you comment, we say it on air, and then, you know, maybe it gets to you, and then it gets to the people at Revenge, and then it gets on to TV. So
yeah, make it easy for the writers. Have a one-stop shop.
That's right. Just come to us.
Perfect. That sounds like a good plan, actually.
Yeah, we just need a system of funneling the information. That's
exactly,
all.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, go to iTunes for AfterBuzz TV, write that beautiful comment, and there you go.
Yeah.
We got it all figured out.
We really do. I mean, what better way can there be?
I just did have another question, though, because if you don't mind. The actors often give you, Gabrielle, Madeline, often, and we've discussed this before, tell you what's going to happen. And I've always been interested that, you know, a lot of shows are very closed about the next. They don't want to tell you anything. Is there a different policy on this show? Because you often get teasers about what's coming up in a few episodes.
Yeah, you know, I read those interviews too, and I would be like, oh, are we allowed to say that? You know,
like, exactly.
But I think you have to, you know, you should be able to tease, oh, you know, so-and-so gets darker or so-and-so, you know, a big tragedy, but without giving everything away. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's policy to give spoilers, but I do think it's...
They do
it's,
a lot, though,
they
don't
do
they?
They do a lot.
Yes!
They want the fans tuning in every week, and they want, you know...
I guess that shows that the actors, too, are very in tune with their fans and wanting to...
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a very, while we're on this kind of subject, let me ask you an actor question. I know some actors, they'll flub a take on purpose if they know it's not going well. Do you see that? No, meaning, like, they'll do something on purpose knowing that it can't be used in the editing room because they know that it's not their best take, and they'll do that.
I don't know if that's necessarily if they, like, I haven't caught on to that as being a technique that our actors have used, but they have stopped the take and, like, no, let's do this again. But funnily enough, last week we had to change a line. We had to have an actor re-record a line for us like days before this episode aired. Last week, I don't know if you remember, but we see Trask and he comes in and Emily's at the stowaway looking through Amanda's stuff and he tells her he's a detective investigating this. And as a joke on set, he goes, the name's Fletch, and he flashes the badge as like a joke because of the movie Fletch.
Fletch, yeah.
Right. And it made it all the way to like to when we're mixing it. And then one of us, oh, that's funny. It's like the thing. Like, oh, he's supposed to actually say his name there. We need to get him to re-record that line because we kept the joke take throughout the whole thing.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah.
And nobody caught on.
Nobody caught. Well, because he's, you know, he's faking being a detective. So I think
he thought it was funny.
That, oh, or, you know, oh, he's using a fake name.
Can you imagine if that aired?
It'd be hilarious.
Has that ever happened, actually, where something slipped through and aired and then you guys were like, oh, my God, no.
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 That was about as close as it came. And that wouldn't have been the worst thing. I don't think, you know, Fletch is an old movie, but it's a classic. So I thought it was pretty funny.
Sometimes
it came really close.
Sometimes I wonder that about entire TV shows.
Right.
How many people did this make it through that this is on air?
Sometimes I see something and I'm like, if I can catch that, just sitting here, like, how on earth? Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, how many people had to approve that? I've thought that, and then that happened. I'm like, so a lot. Yeah.
To be fair, you guys do it in 8 days.
We do. Well, it leaves our department and then goes to an alternate post house. But it's really quick, and it's rushed, and our department works on 3 episodes at a time. So to catch a line like the name's Fletch is, you know, it's not the worst thing to slip under your radar on that kind of schedule.
Yeah. Well, kind of circling back, if you will, we'll continue this discussion. But let's get into poor Jack and all of this.
Sure.
You know, he's what I like, you know, Daniel, we've seen kind of, you know, now starting to sort of
sink
move
into
forward.
Alcoholism.
Unfortunately now he's reverting, but you know, he was such a man of action in the early episodes, and now Jack obviously is a man on a mission.
Yeah.
And kind of like Daniel, you know, who's now sucking on the bottle. Where does Jack go, and how do you know this poor guy? He's getting misinformation everywhere.
Yeah, and is he still believing it? I mean,
don't you ever?
When does he believe? When does he know what's the truth?
Don't you kind of just wish that they would just tell him already? I mean, I'm sitting here, and yes, it makes for great TV, but like you're saying, I feel really bad for this guy. I actually think I wrote this down, like poor Jack, and I almost just want, instead of the lie to cover the lie to cover the lie, just sit him down. I feel like he's an understanding dude, and obviously, then you couldn't draw this out, so it wouldn't make as great a television. But I feel connected to this character, and I just want to like scream at him, no, you love Emily, and she's here. I just want to yell it.
Well, why do you think they're so intent on covering the fact that he was rescued by Emily and
I think it's
Nolan.
For me, it stems from the fact that they can't tell him the truth, and the reason why they can't, because he ultimately is a liability. They don't want to hurt his feelings, and again, it would just, as Nolan said last episode, it would just crush him. Don't take that memory of Amanda away. But your guys' take.
But to sort of say that they went out to rescue him, why would that be revealing the truth?
Yeah, it would be revealing the truth.
Because they would have known that he was there, and how did they know that?
But they knew he was out on the boat on a honeymoon.
Yeah, but they didn't know he was going to be at the dock. I guess, I don't know, but you're saying it would crush him, but I think it would give him light. Like, you know what? You think the woman that you've been in love with your entire life is dead? Hey, guess what? She's not. She's right here. To me, yes, at first it would be crushing news, but then it would be like, light bulb, oh my God. And I don't know, I'm kind of in agreement with, I feel like there was a better way to do this, because now to pin it on somebody else and just another lie, and the boat is really the person who tried to get you killed, and he has remorse and all this stuff. It's like Jack
is
smart.
To be fair, Kenny.
Does he have sandy hair, by the way? I forgot.
I forget.
Because the guy had sandy hair, right?
Kenny?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's light. It's light.
Okay, because that was my question when he pinned it on Kenny. I'm trying to remember. Did he have sandy hair?
You know, I actually did believe the lie, because, you know what? I could see that from Kenny. Kenny wasn't that bad. It was the father and it was Matt that were to that extreme of evil.
Don't you just sit there and like just want some sort of truth? Because he is smart, he is catching on, and you can even see when he hugs Nolan, the wheels are turning. You know, he's not just taking everything at face value anymore. He's really thinking about it.
But
once he found that photograph of Emily and Amanda.
All right,
How about this?
How
and
about
I'll let you guys argue this. But right now, right, look at the way Jack is reacting. It's all anger, right? And he's very emotional. Now imagine if he finds out the truth that the girl that he has loved, the girl that he married is not the girl he loved, and the girl that he absolutely loved as a child from childhood is the girl that has been lying to him. Yeah. He's just going to go rogue.
But
and that's
now,
a liability.
But now is the perfect time to tell him, because before it would be the girl that he loved his whole life has been lying to him all this time.
No, it would have been go ahead, I'm sorry. I was going to say the perfect time would have been when Sammy died season one.
Oh, I miss Sammy.
Whereas now it would be like, as you know, as Roxy was saying, like he just lost the love of his life. Oh no, it's okay, I'm still right here. And he would be even more understanding because he heard this whole, I was here to exact revenge on the Graysons. And she's like, don't you see, that's what I was here to do, and that's why I'd have Amanda take over my life so that I could get in. And it's the perfect time.
I don't think. Lizzie, you as a fan, and if...
Emily tried to tell him after Sammy died, which was the perfect time.
Yes, it was.
You know, they shared that kiss that night, and then she went to the bar, and then Amanda was there and pregnant.
Right.
So that I think she said, I'm going to tell him everything, and this is where it happens.
Let me ask this. We speculate this, and we, you know, and who's the perfect guy? Is it Nolan? Is it Aiden? Is it Dan? Is it Jack?
For Emily?
Yes. Who's she going to end up with? This is the question that we don't know. Therefore, there is no perfect time because we don't know the guy.
I guess the theory is that the path's being cleared now for Jack. It's a possibility.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now there's now, and now she's got three men in the fire. I would think not Nolan.
Nolan. He's always going to be a friend, kind of. Yeah.
Right. But maybe then that's the exact reason it should be Nolan.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm thinking. The reason that she doesn't tell him, in the writers of the show's perspective, is because as fans from day one, once Jack knows that Emily is Amanda, they have to be together, and we're not at that place yet where they can be together, because we still like her with Aiden, and we kind of like her with Daniel. So we're not emotionally ready. No, serious. I'm being serious, and I think the writers know that. But if Jack knew it was her, we would not be okay with Jack not going after her. So,
but he'd be angry, so he could stretch that out for a while.
Yeah, exactly. He needs to. I think
yeah,
he would need,
he
to
would
heal
need
from
a whole
Amanda
season
before.
To heal.
I don't think so. I think he jumps right in it. And
no, I don't think he would.
Think of how depressed he was at the start of the season.
I know, but you know,
while having the girl that he loved,
a couple episodes can really do some good. You can come a long way. But that's what I think. And who's the perfect guy? The way that the show is set up makes it seem like Jack. I mean, I don't think you can really argue that. Except Aiden's done everything for her, and Daniel's, like, about to change who he is, but Nolan is the lifesaver, and now I'm like, can I just have one of them?
I'm gonna,
why do you get four perfect guys?
Okay,
what is
so
that?
Roxy thinks Jack. Who is the perfect guy?
In the past, I've said Aiden, because that's the only person Emily could truly be herself around, but if the door opens for it to be Jack, I'm going to go with Jack.
Okay.
I'll say the same, you know. I think the show from the beginning, there's that sentimentality of their childhood and that. Yeah.
I mean, I think Jack is the one that is the answer.
I'm going to say the most unpopular thing ever. I think Jack is so wounded, and after this journey, he's going to be so wounded, he's going to be the figurative hunched-over guy that Emily's just going to have to literally pick up and be like, are you okay? And he'll fall back down unless Emily continues to hold him up.
And what's wrong with that?
He's a shell of his former self. And I don't like that. So he needs a lot of recovery.
So who do you say?
Aiden.
Aiden?
Aiden's great for
so
her.
Nobody thinks Daniel.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that can happen.
Well, Daniel can never know who she really is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It can't really happen.
Or she'd have to kill him. Ha ha ha.
All right,
but seriously.
So let's slip into this. Let's slip into Aiden. Sorry if that came figuratively. All right. So first off, what do you guys think of their secret pad?
Oh, it's very cool. Where is that secret pad, by the way? Is it a built set, or is
No, it's someone's house.
It is actually,
it's
someone's,
actually
house.
Someone's house.
I want that house.
Yeah, I want it too.
Do you know where it? I'm not saying the address, but
I'll give you the address.
Oh, great, thank you. But they've we'll actually just scouted a house.
Yeah, I believe so.
Is that for a lot
gorgeous.
Of the? How many things are actually built as a set and are actually interiors.
Emily's house, Grayson Manor, the stowaway, the inside of the boat is actually like a trailer.
Oh, wow.
In a soundstage. It's funny. So, so basically most of all of our major set pieces, unless we're outside at the beach or, in New York City outside, but a lot of it is in sound stages on sets, but they're all modeled after real homes from the pilot.
I can't believe that this isn't filmed in New York, and you were actually telling me something funny about that the creator had never been to...
Yeah, he's never been to the Hamptons.
Never been
and
to the Hamptons.
And he's got this huge hit set in the Hamptons, which cracked me up. And
I
the pilot was filmed in North Carolina, so even filming the pilot about the Hamptons was filmed in North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
That's just too funny to me because he has it so on the nose that I can't believe he's not, like, born
and raised.
Have
you been to the Hamptons?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Madeline Stowe's never been to the Hamptons. She said that, too.
Really? Yeah. See, that's, like, shocking
she
to me
she's
because...
never been to the Hamptons.
They just, like, got it.
Mm.
Completely, 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, being from the East Coast, I've been there a few times actually, and now I sound like one of them. no, and it's just a way of life, and this show really captures that. Really, honestly, and
that's great. I've never been there, so that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we.
You guys need to take a trip.
We should. I think a cast and crew trip to
or
the Hamptons.
We guys,
need
like a
to.
Season two wrap up party.
That would be great.
Like, oh, this is what it looks like.
If our wrap party were in the Hamptons, I don't think I'd ever leave this job.
And Ashley can plan it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And some of the exteriors, like, I mean, obviously, I've recognized Marina Del Rey.
The exterior of the Stowaway and where they used to keep the Amanda, that's all in Marina Del Rey. And our sound stages are in Manhattan Beach. We do a lot of filming in Malibu or, just along Los Angeles beaches. So it's
there
nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, it's sunny here, unlike there, it's cold right
it
now.
It is sunny.
You don't want to film there right now.
So the exteriors of the house, though, when you see those great pictures, are they real houses?
Those are real. We shot, we flew people out there to shoot.
So that's someone's
aerials on someone's actual home.
Right.
And the Stowaway was, they filmed the Stowaway at an actual bar in North Carolina as well. And tried to recreate it on set.
And sort of kind of my last question real fast about just this, and not that this pertains to this, but you said they have a board of all the words for the titles.
Well, I wouldn't say all the words. And I didn't even know this until I went down to the writer's room one day and they just had this list of words. And I don't know if it's like, they try and obviously they write the show and then they kind of choose the title based on where the episode is going and they love their one-word episodes. But they do have, a list of words, and they're all kind of, revenge-y sounding, and then they'll throw joke ones in, shopping.
And illumination related to tonight's episode, because... Guys, help me out, because she
fires.
Used to light the
fires.
Yeah. Right.
The totally. Illumination also means that you are revealed and seeing things, too. So.
Right. I think a lot of... And also, I think Jack is learning more and more with each episode that goes on. He's going to continue to do that, which is always exciting, because that's who you want to know the most. And
that's what I'm saying!
He's getting tidbits and more, I think. Yeah. Last episode with the letters. It's
and
great.
And also, it's coming to... So, in terms of illumination, right? The plan for the Graysons has never been clearer to Emily.
Right. Well, what I liked about this is they actually said, we can bankrupt them and this is how we're going to do it and now we have this access and it's just like, finally, we know exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to ruin them and here it is. And then, of course, we're interrupted by the Falcon, which is a new...
Oh, yes. The Falcon. I love that. It's very sort of Humphrey Bogart,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought the logo at first, before it started moving, looked a little bit like the American Eagle logo, just for a second.
Oh, and now I'm like, who the hell is this Falcon?
Right.
So I'm always in the dark about something on the show, and I love that as an audience member. I love that there's always something. And this show keeps it up for a really long time. It's like how we never really understood what was going on with Victoria and David Clark and all these things that keep coming up and the initiative, whatever it is. They keep you in the dark for a while, and then boom, and then Falcon.
Let me ask you this: in terms of the Falcon, this isn't really about the Falcon, but young Emily, had she not done what she did, would David Clark still be alive? I'm referring to the flashback.
The fires, where he's talking to Nolan. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And again, David Clark says, you have to save her. She's, this has happened again. It's worse than the last one. So had she not been doing that, could David Clark be alive?
I think Nolan would have focused on David Clark. Right, interesting. I wonder if Emily knows that.
Well, she had he not been canoodling with Conrad Grayson's wife, might he still be alive? You know, I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs.
That's true.
I mean, you know, had he not been born, he might still be alive. We could go that far.
That one's not so true.
There you go.
Close enough.
What about you? What do you think?
That's an interesting point. I think that would destroy Emily to know. They do have that flashback where he says, don't... And even me watching that again, and I've seen this episode a few times, but it's just like, why? You have a lead now. Go for it. And he's just so focused on saving Emily from ending up in prison herself, it seems.
But she still ended up in juvie.
She still ended up in juvie for a few years. So
I want to understand
how come Nolan couldn't multitask? Sorry. He's a smart boy.
Yeah.
I want to understand the storyline more, though. So the Falcon is this guy, and I feel like there's so many people that sealed David Clark's fate, and it's always like, but this is the person.
Right. How many people are responsible for David Clark's fate?
Poor David Clark, yes.
Emily's just loving putting the axes on the faces. But anyway, so we have this guy, and what exactly did he do, the Falcon, to David Clark?
The Falcon is... this hacker, super right? hacker, super right? Hacker, like the super hacker that Nolan idolized. Nolan's backstory, which they mentioned, I think, briefly, is that he used to be a super a hacker, and then, you know, kind of was a reformed hacker now.
Right.
So the Falcon is the one who, I guess, hacked into everything, locked all the documents, and kind of sealed any evidence would have been overturned or would have been changed. You know, this Falcon, as we'll see more of, it just has the ability to change records, change, you know, computer trades and whatnot. So he can really set it up.
And so the backstory was that this guy was working on the payroll initially.
Right. That he was on that this is someone that they hired to seal everyone.
The Grayson's
initiative.
So
instead of just people lying, now there's computer data, now there's files, now there's stuff, email history to back this up.
Was that Grayson's or the initiative?
The Grayson's bankrolled it, yeah.
Right, okay.
So now
the Falcon's working for the Grayson's, not the initiative, right?
Right. Okay. Falcon's working for the Grayson's.
Here's what I like about... Here's what came out of tonight's storyline for me, with the fact that the Graysons, you know, obviously Victoria and Conrad, Daniel not so much, they have this amazing checklist of things that have to happen in order not to get caught. They do. I mean, you know, the fake charity, this, you know, the hacker guy, they have it all planned out.
Well, he's been through it once before. You know, he got away with it last time, but this time he wants to protect his assets in case they don't get away with it.
Yeah, they're vets.
Yeah.
Guys, guesses on who the Falcon is?
Any
guesses
idea.
Over there?
No
ideas?
Supreme hacker? No, I can't think out of the current cast.
What about
that talented on the computer side?
You think it's somebody we already know?
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of anyone other than Nolan that's that brilliant on the computer side.
Maybe it is Nolan.
Well, it can't be Nolan. But
that would not make sense.
Nolan idolizing Nolan.
Yeah. So I can't think. Can you?
Maybe Nolan sleepwalks? I don't know.
Double personality?
Oh my God, he's schizo. We just answered the show. No, I think it's going to be a new person that we haven't met before.
And this is kind of a prediction, so I don't want to go too far into it, but because I want to talk about it later. Who would know? Mason Treadwell.
Possibly,
right? Yes. He's the record book for all of this.
And he's about to come back, as we know. He's about to come back into the show.
So
yeah, possibly, yeah.
So we'll find out. In terms of Aiden, how do you guys feel this plan's kind of working out? Who's higher up? I mean, obviously kind of by Emily knowing what she knows, you know, but then in terms of Aiden being a scapegoat, like, how is this going to kind of end up as quote,
but they are aware of that, aren't they? They're aware that Aiden's being set up. It's not like he's going into any of this innocently, going on the board. And,
but can he, you know, is he playing with, pardon the pun, too much fire? You know, to the point where, like, yeah, they think that they have the upper hand on the Graysons, but they really don't. Or, like, no matter what happened.
It's a good question. I don't know. Whenever I think that I am thinking of something they haven't thought of, they clearly have. I mean, the two of them are really smart, so I think that he's got it figured out. I'm just wondering what's in it for him. This is his way of getting closer to the initiative because it's going to get pinned on him. So is that what it's all for? You know, why does he want to be there? So
originally it was to get closer to the initiative, but I'm not sure now, right?
No, well, it was to get closer to the initiative, but this plan was to get Yeah, it was to get closer to Daniel. The whole point was to get closer to Daniel. Mm. And the closer they were to Daniel, the more they knew the plan. And obviously, it paid off because, Daniel confides within Emily. Don't tell a girl your secret plans.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what did you guys... Let's talk about that scene specifically. How did you guys feel about that?
That Daniel revealed all that. That was kind of interesting that he trusted her that much so quickly again.
I thought that the acting in that scene was so incredible. Like, he was just spot on to the point where I usually think he's great, but I even had to write it down. I just thought it was just brilliant. I mean, the way he, like, looked at her and with the eye, he just... It was awesome. It was really great.
Yeah, you really felt he was suffocating and just needed to let it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Implode.
I felt claustrophobic in that moment, and that's how you know when you can not only sympathize, but you can empathize, and you actually start to feel the feelings of that. Just really great work. You guys are like, okay. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. You guys.
That's the actress in Roxy coming out.
I know. She does come out sometimes.
Let me ask this. Speaking of, like, from a technical standpoint, do you guys get excited? Like, what kind of scenes excite you guys the most in terms of wanting to cut and things like that?
Personally, for me, it's Nolan and Emily's stuff. I think that they play off of each other so well. They have a great chemistry. Their scenes are always fun. I love seeing them together and yeah, I just love it. I look forward to it every time.
Nolan has some of the best lines.
He does.
Show.
He's got great lines and great reactions lines. And great little quirks to play with. So he's really good to kind of cut to when we don't know what to show. Just like, show Nolan. He's doing something fun.
Can I ask too, when an actor leaves, Amanda had to go. Was that sad for people when Margarita, is there sort of like, will people know that things, is there a farewell? Did they do it
I wasn't on set, but it's sad, especially because you get attached and you get to see them every day and whatnot, and she became so important to the show and so likable, I think when they initially brought her on last season, there was a little bit of
people didn't like her,
and then they really grew to love her, and especially because Jack loved her so much, and that's gonna win people over if Jack loves anything like that. Dog Sammy, it's like, then you love the dog Sammy.
Do you miss the dog?
Amanda. I think you can love a dog regardless
of
Jack.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
I mean, the Conrads can have a dog and we'd like
still
the dog.
Love the dog. Yeah. Exactly. We need another dog on the show.
People, what's funny, ever since Amanda's death, people want to know, like, how come Jack had this meltdown and they had a video montage for Sammy? And then when his wife dies, it's just like, a cry, and then I need to talk to Conrad Grayson.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think he just got anger, but that's really funny. A lot of people want to know why.
He was sadder over his dog.
Right, exactly. And he has this heartbreaking scene over this dog.
Oh, it was. It was very touching.
Well, hopefully this is an answer to you fans, but, how do you take out, with a dog dying, there's no, right now he's got a purpose. Mm. With that, okay, you don't have any action that you can take, right? You can bury the dog and things like that. And so your only thing to do is to cry and things like that. Whereas with this, as he found out with the truth, okay, that Spurs gives him
action. Of course, there's yeah. anger.
This is
anger.
The healing.
Yeah.
And similar lines to the last question that you were asked, we're like drilling you, we're so excited to have you here tonight.
Fantastic, it's great. Yeah.
But you have specific scenes that you like, but do you have a favorite character on the show? Are you like, wow, I love that character? I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about the actors.
Right. That's a good question, and there's so many great characters on this show.
Yeah.
It kind of comes in waves. I'm always an Emily fan. I love watching her kick butt all the time. Whenever she's really pissed, it's great, and I love watching that. And I said I love watching Emily and Gabe act together, and I think that Nolan is a lot of fun. For me, when Madeline gets gets just deliciously evil and manipulative, I really love watching that. I loved her scene when Ashley's warning her in this episode about Eli, and she's just loving it. Oh, Emily Thorne, well, all the more reason, and just wicked and wonderful. So I love that.
Let me ask you this. Again, I think in many ways we've concluded with this episode, right? Would you guys say?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
it's all about you now, baby.
It's all about you.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. You said you guys listen to a lot of the fans, right? Do you ever kind of go, since you're such a fan of the show, in addition to working on it, where you're kind of walking down the hall and you're like, where it might not necessarily be what the fans are thinking, but what you really want to see, and you're like, you know what, fan? And just kind of slip it into the writers' people. You know what? Fans really want to see this.
I trust our writers. I would never. More often for me, the fans will be, you know, complaining about something, and it'll just be this long thread of complaining about, you know, a storyline or a character, and I just want to be like, yeah, you're wrong. Just wait. Like, come on.
How many writers are there? How many? Is it like a huge team?
Gosh, it's... I want to say maybe like 13? I don't know the exact number, but something like that.
And let's talk about Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Yes, right, that was very exciting.
It was really exciting. When I saw the director's list, we had her, you know, booked from the top of the season. I'm like, that?
Oh, really? From the
Helen Hunt?
That's what we said.
Yeah.
Like,
the Helen Hunt?
Yeah, is there another one?
That was thrilling. It was really thrilling. And her, I think her episode was top-notch. And I really think that the actors wanted to give, like, a good performance for Helen Hunt, you know?
They
so,
did. Yeah.
So it ended up being great.
That was the last episode, correct?
That was last week's, yeah. That was the first episode after Amanda died, which is a big undertaking.
That was. I mean, you had to handle it delicately.
Yeah, but we were in really safe hands. She just came in.
Is she a fan of the show? Did you find out anything like that, or why she was booked? Did she?
Watched all of it. Yeah, because we set her up with the DV, so I know she watched all of them leading up, which was great. A lot of times directors come in and they just want like the last episode or the last two episodes, and then they'll go in. But she wanted all of them.
So she was probably, I don't know how many weeks ago, but was this right in the middle of her awards campaign that she was directing?
Yeah. Because she was right in the middle of
Sessions, right?
Sessions.
Because, you know, she was nominated for Golden Globe.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a huge, busy time. Yeah. So, and that Oscar nomination. So I was thinking she must have been
right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of that. And it was great because she would come in and she'd be so focused and prepared, and she had everything laid out, and she knew exactly what she wanted to do. It was really impressive.
Yeah.
So she was great.
And do you think she might be back? Do you think?
I hope so. I would love her to direct a lot of episodes.
And can I ask, Phil Noyce was very instrumental in the pilot of this, and Phil Noyce is a great Australian director, and Madeleine Stowe said that was the reason she signed on to do Revenge,
because
of Phil Noyce and his extraordinary work, and they'd worked together on
He's done a lot of stuff.
Is he still any kind of hands-on?
He's completely out of it now? He was a consulting producer for the rest of the first season. Yeah. He did the first two episodes, and then was just kind of consulting producer. If he had any notes, or he would come in sometimes, but kind of took a back seat and let us steer his
ship. So he's not really involved at all anymore?
Right, no, not anymore. Okay. Not this season.
Okay.
I'm assuming that a lot of the times you have really tough decisions to make in terms of which take you're putting in and what you're not, and which song, whatever you're doing, what to go with, and a lot of it falls on you. What is the main determining factor? Like, how do you choose between one or the other?
I'm not an editor, so that wouldn't be me. But from what I know all of them very well, and they're all, it's just, who's giving you the good stuff? I would imagine, you know, I see them get frustrated with some actors on some takes and just loving, can't get enough of another actor on another take. So I think you just want the best reactions, the best deliveries, and anything to escalate the scene. But I don't edit them personally, so I imagine it would be hard because, like I said earlier in the show, we have a lot of scenes to look through.
Who or what decides what scenes get cut?
Well, you know, these episodes, they go through, you know, they morph from an editor's cut, which is the original cut of the episode. And then the director will come in and spend 4 days with us, typically, and then we'll put out a director's cut, and they'll say, take out this stuff, put this in, you know, whatever. So then that gets chipped away more. And then the producers get in on it, and we've got another cut that goes to network, and then they give us our notes, like, we liked this scene, put this scene back in, take this scene out. And then, you know, it comes back to us, and we polish it up and give it to you guys. So it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. I would say mostly the people that have the final say are, you know, Mike Kelly, our showrunner, and Melissa Loy, our executive producer, and the writers will come in and sit in the editing rooms too. But I think that
if I may ask, what are some things that Michael Kelly looks for? Like, you know, what's his biggest notes of, you know, of change, if there is a consistency?
Of what to change?
Yeah, like let's say, you know, it goes through the process. Like, what is he, you know? I know that's a tough question. I'm not wording in the proper way, but
I mean, what's his main critique? Like, when he sees something, is he like, you know what, I need less words, or is there something he specifically looks for? Is that the question?
I need more cowbell.
I mean,
right, more cowbell.
I mean, to give you an example, Alexander Payne, he really loves moments of just music and you know, where you kind of just visually experience a moment, you know? And so what are the moments he gravitates towards to make sure that they're perfect or whatever? Again, I don't, if what, there is a consistency.
What I like about Mike as a showrunner is I really like that he likes to sit in emotions and let actors kind of, so I think he really looks for the sincerest performances all around and tries to get, you know, truths from people essentially. And I think he does a great job. As to what specifically he likes and doesn't like, it's hard to say. He's just kind of this master conductor that's just, he's got his hand is in all.
Typically, I mean, how many notes does he give? How about, maybe that's a better question.
I guess it really depends on what shape the episode is in when he sees it. So sometimes a lot, sometimes we just cut together 18, which is, I'm really excited about. It's called Masquerade.
Masquerade.
You're going to die. It's, ooh, great. Okay. And he had very little notes for us on that one. It was, you know, well directed, well edited, and just great performances all around. So when there's not a lot to change, there's not a lot to change. And that's great because it's a short day for all of us.
And this is a single camera show, right?
So, yes.
Which means that there's many takes because I know every actor has to do their angle. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's
it's a lot. It's yeah. And it's, you know, it's an hour long instead of you know, a single camera sitcom is a much shorter timeline.
In terms of spoilers, I know you can't give us much, but we have things to look forward to this season.
You have a lot to look forward to. I'm really excited about this season. There was a while where I think the show slumped a little, you know, just getting too big too quick, and then it's now it's sharpening and refocusing, and it's just, it's really exciting, and I think it's getting back to that, what fans loved about season one, which is just Emily taking down the Graysons. There's a lot of great stuff with Nolan coming up. He gets a lot of nice, dark, dramatic moments that he gave as an actor handles really well.
Is Nolan one of those people that has really developed with the fans and people have just grown to love
him?
He's
a fan favorite. He really is.
He gets more now because of that?
I don't know if he gets more.
I mean, he's terrific.
I think it can't hurt, you know? He's terrific, and I'm excited for him and for fans to watch him this season. And for Jack, like I said, he knows more and more with each passing episode, which is great.
Well, let's get into predictions, if we will.
Sure.
And kind of,
dude, I'm like hanging on your every word right now. Everything you say, I'm like, what? What? Even as vague as it is.
I'm trying not to be specific, but it's really exciting. I'm excited about it.
Let me ask this, you know, obviously there's the Padma storyline that's kind of left
mm-hmm.
open.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see Mason Treadwell, all these different things. You know, last season ended on a very down note, right? As we mentioned, the Sammy dying and Emily wanting to come forward, but she couldn't. Victoria supposedly dead. Everyone just kind of, I mean, you had Seven Devils playing.
Right, yeah.
Do we leave on a happier note? Where do we leave?
No, we definitely don't.
What?
Absolutely not. I don't think it would be revenge if we left and everyone was satisfied.
Well, she doesn't get her revenge and then we can all go home?
And then it's over. It's like a British series. It's like two and done.
No, but of course, we aren't going to get that satisfaction because we need it later down the line. But as far as the rest of the season goes, we've got up and down moments. We'll get those little bits of satisfaction.
Right, of course. I think especially with Jack, you'll get a little bit more satisfaction with his character because he's so angry right now and he wants answers, and he'll get some, which is really exciting.
All right, next episode, in the last 5 minutes.
Yes. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah.
Is it an explosion? Is it emotion?
Does someone else die?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
But the last 5 minutes, all I'll say is she's talking to Mason Treadwell and she's in prison visiting him.
Okay.
And it's...
And it's present day.
Conversation.
It's present day, right? Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And surprised even Emily.
Yeah, I was going to say, even Emily is shocked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say the only person that knows her father's trial inside and out as well as Emily does would be Mason Treadwell.
Right.
So
he's still got
a wealth of information.
So there's a lot more to reveal for Mason, basically.
Yeah.
There's a lot more
Which
coming
I
from
love,
him.
I think he's a great character.
And is anyone else coming back? I know we've got Mason coming back. Any...
We'll see. We'll see a little bit of Takeda coming up too,
because he's the Falcon.
But the mothers don't come back, do they? You know, we had sort of Victoria's mother, and we had, you know, Emily's mother. Are they not back in this season?
I don't know exactly. I only know up through. Right. We did 22 episodes. I know up through episode 20. The writers. I know that they pitched the finale already, but I just haven't read it or heard it yet. But I heard originally that Jennifer Jason Leigh was going to be coming back before
the end
of the
season.
That's
what I thought. Yeah, I thought she was coming back. Yeah.
I can't, because I actually just don't know.
We're going to tickle torture you to find out the truth.
And who the Falcon is.
Right.
Because you know. You won't tell us.
I do know.
All right, well, it's been great chatting
Fantastic.
With you.
Yeah,
do you have a Twitter that you want to plug?
Yeah, it's just it's my name, which is Lizzie Donaldson, Lizzie Donaldson.
Look at that. You can find her in the facility. Revenge Studios.
Yeah. Donald like the duck, son, S-O-N.
That's right.
I learned,
thanks,
baby.
Roxy.
I got you.
Very simple. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Hope you guys have enjoyed it. Also, to make sure... To let you guys know that we are reading your comments, I thought someone had a great comment that, you know, every episode opens up with the voiceover from Emily, and people think that there's speculation that she's retelling the story to Mason Treadwell for his last and final book.
I love that.
We'll see if that comes true. Now they're going to take it.
Now they'll take it.
But where can they find you, Catherine Tulich?
At Catherine Tulich, KatherineTulich.
And that's Twitter
and
Instagram.
Yes.
You can follow me at Kopple for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR. You can also please check out my website, AnnaKopple.com.
On Twitter, at Roxy Stryer. And now I'm plugging my Instagram, which is RoxyOurWorld with two Ds.
Oh, I like that.
Excellent. And, of course, here at AfterBuzz TV, thank you so much. So until next week, rate and comment and let us know your thoughts, because we love hearing them, and apparently revenge writers do too.
Yeah. Yay.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.